Word of mouth.
From New Hampshire Public Radio, this is Word of Mouth. I'm Virginia Prescott. A country divided by a grueling campaign season can look forward to Veterans Day. Remembering America's fallen tends to unite us and turns our minds to the long view, to historic sacrifices beyond the politics of the moment. How our nation memorializes those killed in conflict is the subject of Monument Wars by University of Pittsburgh history professor Kirk Savage. Savage observes that public memorials have evolved from glorious tributes to individual leaders to those intended to console those who endured tragedy and loss. Today's wars are less defined by nation states than complex, ongoing global strategies. So what will the Iraq War Memorial look like? Professor Savage raised the question in an op-ed for The Washington Post, and we invited him to speak with us more about it. Kirk Savage, welcome to Word of Mouth.
Thank you for having me.
Talk to us, please, about the changing way we memorialize our war dead. An example you give in the book is the Grant Memorial on the National Mall. You describe it as a watershed in our notions of public monument. Why?
Well, it's a monument to a great commander, but at the same time, it becomes even more so a monument to the men who fought for him, for the common soldiers who fought under his command. And in fact, there are these two enormous combat groups, an artillery group and a cavalry group, that are really become the main subject of the monument. The people that we really connect to in the work are these ordinary men who are engaged in this very difficult, strenuous, and combat situation, and in some ways very horrific situation that is really extremely realistically depicted by the sculptor. And so that's a kind of transition point between the old idea of the war memorials to the great commander and the newer idea of the war memorials to the ordinary soldier on the ground who fights these wars.
And I guess the ordinary soldier taken to another level by the Vietnam Veterans Memorial Wall. This is designed by Maya Lin. This has the names of 58,915 servicemen and women who died in the war. And it's the most visited of all the war memorials. Why do you think the draw is there?
Well, it's first of all, it's such a brilliant design that it has, you know, worked on so many levels. But it's also still unique in that it is the only national war memorial in the United States that lists all the names of the dead in that war that is comprehensive. We don't have anything like it for World War II or Korea or the Civil War, or any other wars. So it's still the only one that has this comprehensive list of all the names of the U.S. war dead on it.
And I guess there was fierce opposition to it. I read a lot about that in its building. Yet a few hundred feet away, we have the World War II Memorial. That, I guess, speaks to a very, you know, an absolute victory that was portrayed as unambiguously deserved, which kind of leads to your question of how the Iraq conflict will be memorialized, given the nature of the conflict. Can you help us pick apart the issues there?
I think there are a number of them. Yes, there is, number one, the inconclusiveness of the outcome, which is similar to Vietnam, except, of course, after the end of the Vietnam War, our enemy did, in fact, win that war. In Iraq, we still are in an inconclusive and ongoing situation. We don't know, you know, 3 to 5 years from now what's going to be happening in Iraq and what the government is going to look like, or whether it's even going to be an ally of ours. So there's that, and there's also the fact that it really wasn't a war primarily against a nation state. It was a war against one particular guy to take him out, Saddam Hussein, take him out of power. But then it became a war against an insurgency, against a non-state kind of shadowy, elusive enemies who did not belong to a state, a nation state. And this is what's very different about, you know, the warfare that's going on now in the last decade, is that it is not only inconclusive or, you know, kind of perpetual, but it's also against these really elusive enemy. And how do we deal with that? And how do we even know when the war is over becomes a huge question.
Well, it's been nearly a year since the troop drawdown in Iraq. What goes into the planning of a memorial? You know, what is the process that it has to go through before it becomes a public work?
In Washington, D.C., there are some pretty clear procedures because they've all been mandated by legislation. So for a national memorial in Washington, D.C., first of all, 10 years has to elapse since the official end of the hostilities. And again, that's going to be somewhat of a question. What is the official end of the hostilities in Iraq? If we stick with December 15th or whatever it is that Obama declared an end to the conflict, then that means that a monument couldn't be authorized by Congress until 2022.
So I guess the point there to give us some remove from the war. I mean, right now, if you were talking about an Iraq war memorial, it might be very contentious and politicized.
It certainly would be. I mean, you can see that even on the web when you look at all the various kind of virtual memorials to the Iraq War dead. They span everything from anti-war sites to, very pro-war, pro-military sites. And so it would be enormously politicized now. And as I say, it's also going to, I think our perspective is going to be very different 10 years from now because of what's going to happen in Iraq and the Middle East region, which we, I'm not a pundit, fortunately. I have no idea what's going to happen, and I don't think anybody really does. So our ideas about what a proper memorial should look like 10 years from now will be very much colored by what is going to happen there in Iraq in that region over the next 10 years.
Well, and of course, we have, plenty of troops still on the ground in Afghanistan, for example,
sure.
Contractors in Iraq. But, the nature of war has so changed. Cyber warfare, for example, drone warfare, the role of the soldier has changed. The distance from the war front has changed. How is that going to change how we think about memorializing soldiers?
Yeah, I think it's going to change in a lot of ways because the common soldier after the Civil War was the ideal of the citizen soldier. It wasn't a professional soldier. It was an ordinary person who volunteered for service for a limited period of time in a national emergency. And we have evolved now into what is effectively a professional military, highly trained, permanent professional military. And that in itself is an enormous change, and it means that there is a much lower participation rate by the general population in these wars, much less of an investment or personal stake by the general population, though there's an enormous personal stake in the war by particular local communities that are heavily invested in it, that send a lot of troops to into the army and into these wars and military bases and so on. And then, as you say, the nature of warfare changing, that as we move away even from the idea of kind of on-the-ground combat to more robotic or virtual combat, we're in situations that are unprecedented. And I really don't know how that is going to affect the commemorative game from here on in.
Well, maybe that's something that we can all try to envision. I want to thank you for your time today, Kirk.
Thank you.
Kirk Savage is professor of history at the University of Pittsburgh and author of the book Monument Wars, Washington, D.C., the National Mall, and the Transformation of the Memorial Landscape. There's more about his book and a link to his Washington Post op-ed at wordofmouthradio.org. We also invite your thoughts on Facebook or Twitter. When do you think is the right time to memorialize the victims and veterans of a war? How will we memorialize conflicts that emerged from what was then called the War on Terror? Stay with us now for coming up a film that asks where soldiers come from in the first place. A rural town in Michigan, in this case, when Word of Mouth continues.